This morning we shall pick up our studies again out of the book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. Before we look at the Word of God together once again, let us pray and acknowledge our great need of the Holy Spirit to understand His truth. So let us pray together. Our blessed Lord and Savior, indeed we thank You for the many promises You have given to Your people. And at this time we think of that promise You gave to Your disciples that You have given to us, that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Oh, Father, please, send down the Spirit. Work in our hearts and minds. Open our hearts that we might see the truth of Your holy word. Words given to us by the Spirit. And as we reflect upon Your truth, oh, might we consider the goodness of Your word, the greatness of Your word. And oh, grant us grace to receive it into our hearts, to work it out in our lives. For Your name's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Now, as best you can, I want you to remember and think back, way, way, way back to your younger days, for many of you here. Think about those childhood days. And as you do so, ask yourself, to whom was the first person I lied? To whom was the first person I lied? To whom did you lie first? But then while you're looking back, consider this. Who was the first person with whom you became very angry with? That first person, you got really angry. In fact, you got so angry that deep down in your heart you said, I hate you. I wish you were dead. Didn't say it with your lips. Said it in your heart. And didn't that happen more than once? But don't turn your head around yet. Keep looking back. Who was the first person who gave you some instructions and you said no? You disobeyed. In some cases, you sassed. This matter of lying, this matter of hatred, this matter of disobedience. The first person. Who do you direct it all to? Would it be somewhat reasonable to say that most likely it was dear old mom? Mom's the first one you lied to in some form or fashion. You got angry at mom because she wasn't going to let you do what you wanted to do. And mom told you to do something. You just didn't want to do it. Mom! Dad, yeah, he's involved too. Your parents. Your parents, the two people God ordained to be a means to bring you into this world. And to care for you, and to provide for you. And how often do you ever stop and think, when you were brought into this world, how helpless you were? You came out of that womb. What could you do for yourself? You couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't clothe yourself. You could not protect yourself. All you could do was lie on that table and cry and die. That's all you were capable of doing. crying and dying. But what happened? There was dear old mom. She picked you up. She fed you. She clothed you. She protected you. Dad worked to provide for you the necessities of life. And in light of that, God says, honor your father, your mother. Of course, someone might say, well, look, Pastor Fry, you really don't know how bad my parents were. No, I don't. Maybe they were the scum of the earth. But somehow or another, you survived, didn't you? You survived. And here you sit. God says, honor your father and your mother. And as we start thinking about this fifth commandment, I think the old Heidelberg Catechism does an excellent job here to get us started. It says this, what does God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and to all in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. You see the wisdom of our forefathers in the faith? Bear patiently with their weaknesses and shortcomings. You see, all parents have their weaknesses. They have their shortcomings. You see, all parents, even Christian parents, are not perfectly sanctified. They are yet sinners. But God doesn't say when you find a perfect parent, then you honor them. No. You had nothing to say about it. He brought you into this world. Here are your parents. He says you honor them with their weaknesses and their shortcomings. But as we shall see, this commandment expands. Bosses are not perfect bosses. They have their shortcomings and their weaknesses, but you submit to them. Civil leaders! Oh, do they ever have their shortcomings and their weaknesses? In all these areas, you see, we are to honor those whom God has set over us with authority. And so as regards this fifth commandment, what we'll do as we usually do, I'll read through the whole Ten Commandments. We get the flow of thought. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. So let us consider, first of all, what? What is our duty here? Well, you could look at the text yourself. Honor your father and your mother. And that word honor, in the Hebrew, literally it means to be heavy. And so maybe you've talked to someone, they came out of a class, the professor had given this lecture. Oh, how was it? Man, was it ever heavy. And so here, honor, something that is heavy, something that is very important, something that God takes very seriously, as we shall see. But yes, the word is properly translated to respect your parents, to love your parents, to obey your parents. That's what God requires. And there's that chapter 5, you remember, where Moses again goes over these Ten Commandments. So you notice verse 16 of the fifth chapter. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You notice, honor your father and mother if you think they're worthy. Honor your father and mother. It is a command from God. And then we go back. This comes up a number of times. You look in the book of Leviticus in chapter 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Well, what's involved in holiness? What's involved in being like God and showing holiness? You notice? Every one of you shall revere his mother. Mother comes first here, and his father. And some of you have an old King James, every one of you shall fear. And that is the word, fear. You know, there seems to be a proper place for fearing our parents, especially if you've done something really bad. And I can remember as a young boy, it may be shocking, but I used to get in trouble. And there were a few times I did things when my mother said, well, you go to your room and you stay there and you wait for your father. Let him handle this. Oh, I was honestly afraid of my dad when it came to discipline. And it was a two-story apartment, and I remember my look out my window, and I could see down to the corner, and there's Dad's car turning, coming down the street. He'll park in front of the apartment. And I knew I was going to get it. Oh, I was afraid. And you know, that fear paid off in later years. And it should pay off now to young ones here. For you'll be out and you'll be confronted with temptations to do things you should not do, especially the peer pressure. But sometimes something grips your conscience. What about my parents? What about my dad? Besides breaking their hearts, he'll skin me alive. You see, it can be a good thing. A good thing. Just like fearing the police officer. Put a little restraint upon you. Maybe keep you out of trouble. Honor thy father and mother. And then there's that verse over in the book of Proverbs, and it opens up, and you remember the father is is speaking to his son about this matter of doing the right thing. And in verse 8 it says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." You see, mom has authority in the household. Mom has authority over the children. And that needs to be brought out, because sometimes, especially with some boys, they know they can put it over on mom. They know they can kind of put it over on mom, huh? They can get by with things of mom. Not all mothers, some mothers. But they know they can get by with it with dad. He'll smack them. But mom has authority in the house. Honor thy father and thy mother. And we go on to the New Testament. This just wasn't something for the nation of Israel. But you remember, Paul gives forth instructions, and you're familiar with them in that book of Ephesians. And he brings it out this way. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And then Paul modifies what's set forth in the Exodus 20, "that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Originally addressing those Israelites who had been given the gift of the land of Canaan, you want to live long in this land, enjoy this land. Well, here, honor your father and mother. Here, of course, the church of Christ is scattered amongst the nations, that you may live long on the earth. And so it's usually considered older folks, you honor your parents. Younger people at home, you obey your parents. They have authority over you. And then again, Paul brings this out when you look at the book of Colossians. He puts it forth this way. "Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And then there's a word to the fathers. "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And so I think he may be saying here, be careful. Remember, it is a young person. You're not dealing with a mature 40-year-old man. It's a young person, and he's just not going to do everything perfectly. Be careful about being a little nitpicker. If you're on the boy's case every time he turns around, he'll get discouraged and say, "What's the use? Might as well just be bad." Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Well, how might I honor my parents? Well, there are a number of ways. One of them would be with this matter of my speech. How I speak to them. How I speak about them. And so you have this being brought out a little later in the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Verse 15, it puts it forth this way. "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Can you imagine? And it does happen, doesn't it? Teenage boy is really big now. He doesn't have to take any orders from dad. And he smacks him. Unless there's a real repentance and confession, God says he's worthy of death. You don't strike your parents. And of course, we hear nowadays a lot about elderly abuse that goes on in care homes. You don't strike the elderly. You don't strike your father. You don't strike your mother. There will be problems. Now, we don't live in a theocracy, but God will take care of that person. But yet there's something else. Verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Sadly, maybe you've heard that. A father, a young man, get into it, and the cursing and the things that father is called, the horrible names, he shall be put to death.
You see, those parents are in the place of God over that child. You want to strike at your parents?
The sense in which you strike at God. You strike at His authority. He put them over you. And so you are to honor them. You are to speak properly toward them. No abusive speech is to come out of your mouth, you see. And the one still living at home is one who should obey and be submissive. It comes out this way. It speaks about some young fella, and he is not wanting to obey his father. And so the people, the parents, they deal with the young man, they warn the young man, they chasten the young man, and he just will not obey. And so they take him to the elders and tell them all that he has done, and they say, "This our son, he is a glutton and he is a drunkard, he will not heed our voice." You see, he wasn't just a six-year-old kid who threw a fit about taking the trash out. And so this is probably an older teen that we read about that this takes place with. And so then it says the elders will take him outside the gate and they will stone him so that others might fear. Could you imagine that? Does that sound terribly cruel? Well, we've got to remember that it is God, you see, who gave forth this order. God who gave forth this command. And you see, if you have all this rebellion in the house, what happens? That rebellion flows to the streets. It flows to the workplace. It flows into the government. It flows into the schools. Honor your father and mother. And you see, the wisdom of God and saying this starts in the home, it starts when the kid is a little kid. Why is that? Well, because with a few exceptions, that little child has an affection for mama, has an affection for daddy. You mothers know that, the little guy, the little girl. "Mommy, mommy, mommy, mommy. Mommy, hold me. Mommy, take me. Mommy, this. Daddy, play with me. Daddy." You see, there's kind of a natural affection there. But you see, it must be developed, it must be strengthened, it must be disciplined, because it doesn't take very long for the parent to learn the words of Proverbs. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And see, God knows by nature. We don't like to submit to anybody. By nature, we don't like authority. No! I'm the boss. I like to rule over you. But you're not going to tell me what to do. And so God knows that. You go all the way back to the garden. Satan says, "You shall be as gods." That's what it's saying. You can determine what's right and wrong. Not God. Why should you listen to God? You determine what's right and wrong yourself. And isn't that what's going on in our society? Big, important, scholarly men, they're telling us what's right and what's wrong. God tells us what's right and what's wrong. And you see, we are to bring up our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so we can go back to those verses in the book of Ephesians, that sixth chapter. And again, you notice what is said. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. You see, parents are to inculcate discipline in their children. You're to train your children. Yes, yes, you give them Bible instruction, teach them the Word of God, but you teach them some social graces too. And I'm shocked at times. Kids don't have any manners at the dinner table. Slop food all over, don't know the difference between a fork and a knife. Sit around, blah, blah, eat with their mouth full. Where's the parents? Oh, they're doing the same thing. No. We teach them social manners. We teach them to be good citizens. You see, parents have such a big and a heavy responsibility. Train them up. Discipline them. And we talked about abusive language to parents. Parents have a responsibility to correct that smart mouth kid. They need to be corrected. Now, it never literally happened to me, but I can remember growing up more than once my mom grabbed me by the back of the neck. You want me to wash your mouth out with soap? Oh. But that was something that was common in that day and age. And I think I had a friend or two, he got his mouth washed out with soap. Parents have a responsibility, you see, concerning the speech their children use, concerning their manners, you see. Honor thy father and thy mother. As you get older, you have the responsibility of honoring them in a sense that you may be called upon to take care of them in their old age. And you remember that Jesus had a little conflict with the Pharisees about this matter. He didn't adhere to all their traditions. And so they want to know, why don't you honor our traditions? How is it you eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers, cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, then he is no longer has to do anything for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition and many other things. In other words, here's a man, he has some parents. They're elderly. And they could use a little financial help or some kind of aid or something needs to be provided for them. And this very pious person says, oh, Dad, I'd really like to help you. But you know, I've set aside this money for God. Oh, it's for the work of God, and that's so... I'm sorry, Dad. Go down and get in the bread line. No, there could be a time, you see, that our parents will need our help. Either we give it to them, either we take them in, or we make sure they are provided for. Because go back and remember when you came into this world, what could you do? Cry and die. But they took care of you. Most likely did some sacrificing for you. And it comes around that your parents may need your help. honor your father and mother. And it's a very interesting thing. Jesus says, he who curses. And so I take it that word curse has a little broad meaning there. Abuse. You don't abuse your parents. And so this is my duty. I am to honor my father and my mother. Well, in the second place, let's ask, well, how broad is this commandment? How broad is it? And you know the psalmist, he made mention of God's word. He says, your commandments are exceedingly broad. And so this thing expands outward. God uses father and mother as authoritative figures that he has ordained. And so they're representative of all figures that he has ordained with authority over others. So how broad is it? Well, it says something about my attitude toward the boss. I assume most of us are employed, and we have bosses. Well, what do we do? I mean, there was that popular song, Take This Job and Something. Well, is that the proper Christian attitude? No. For example, to the Colossians. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, whatever my calling, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, I am to remember I am there as a servant of Christ. And I am to conduct myself in a way that brings honor to him. And so, again, back in Philippians, where the apostle gives for us some very practical things. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. And so you see, Christianity, it touches me in the workplace. And then I thought some interesting words in the book of Titus, the second chapter. Giving instruction to Titus, he says in chapter 2, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. He's to speak things that are proper for sound doctrine. And we think of sound doctrine, well, hey, we're going to study the decree of God. We're going to study the Trinity. We're going to study this and that is wonderful and great. But is there a practical application concerning this matter of sound doctrine? That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing to say of you. No, to exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You see, my conduct on the job reflects upon the doctrine of God, the teaching of God, the truth of God. And you notice, it says that I'm not answering back. In other words, why is it that some guys always want to argue with the boss? I mean, there's a place if he asks you your opinion. But this matter of arguing and telling the boss how wrong he is, and in essence, how stupid he is. No! He's the boss. God put him there. And it says, no pilfering. In other words, you don't steal things out of the office. You don't steal things out of the shop, out of the garage, and take them home. They're not yours. And those who do such things, they dishonor God. And you notice in the preceding context, it speaks about those who profess to know God. Oh, they can talk theology, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified in every good work. And so it's a broad commandment. It says something about my conduct, you see, at the workplace. And add to that, you say, well, my boss is pretty rough. Well, most of us have had some pretty rough bosses. But it's an interesting thing here, that what the Apostle Peter says. He says, servants, be submissive to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Some bosses are just kind of nasty. They're harsh. But you notice, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And the next thing he goes on is talk about the example of Christ who suffered, unjustly suffered. And sometimes you'll unjustly get chewed out at the workplace. Well, you just stand your ground. Call the shop steward. Get the union in here. No. Sometimes you just take it. You just take it. But we go on, a broad commandment. This broad commandment, it has to do with civil authority. Civil authority. We are to submit ourselves, you see, to the governing authorities, because you're familiar with those words out of the book of Romans. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. We are to submit to governing authorities, and in these New Testament days, I tell you, those in places of authority, they were not angels. And you know the rule, that we obey until we are required to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, and then we must say no. And then add to that concerning authorities, therefore I exhort first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We pray for our civil leaders. We are people who want to live in peace, you see. I don't think Christians are involved downtown in all these protests, throwing things at the cops. No, they have a job to do. They work all day, and they have a family at night. Maybe what you ought to do with that crowd is hand out job applications. It's what they need. No, we submit ourselves, you see, to the governing authorities. And then, believe it or not, there are authorities in the church. Yes, you have elders in the church. And for example, you notice how it comes out. It speaks forth this way, that we are to submit ourselves to those who have the rule over us. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they are watch for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. They only have authority based upon the word of God, you see. But there is rule in the church. There are those who are to be respected. Chapter 5, verse 17 of 1 Timothy. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. There is to be respect. There is to be material support. And then one more in this area. It comes up in the book of 1 Thessalonians. It comes up in the fifth chapter. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Quit always fussing and arguing with them. And so this matter of authority, yes, in the home, yes, in the church, yes, civil government, but the question is, why should we strive to keep this? What is the benefit? Well, you can read the text, can't you? Honor your father, your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. There can be long life for the one who honors his parents. Well, does that mean if a young person that was very obedient and good is suddenly cut off, they were, God violated his promise? No. It's a general promise, as the Catechism says, as it serves his will. Those who honor their father and mother, put it this way, they'll have an enjoyable life. And stop and consider, if this commandment was heeded, there'd be some peace in the home. There'd be some peace in the schools. There'd be some peace at the workplace. There'd be some peace in our city streets. Honor thy father and mother. If you stop and think about it, have we all honored our parents as we should? Do we not reflect back? And do we not have to say with the psalmist, Lord, forgive me for the sins of my youth? There's only one who perfectly obeyed his parents. That was Christ. Makes mention of the fact he went down and submitted himself to them. They were sinners. And I'm sure there were times when Mary was a real crab. But he patiently bore it. He took care of his mom. Evidently Joseph had died. He's on the cross. He says to John, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. What was he doing? He was keeping that fifth commandment. He was making sure that his elderly mother was being provided for. And it says she went home and stayed with that disciple from that day forth. Oh, how desperately we need the righteousness of Christ. Oh, how rebellious we've been against authority. How important we think we are. We need Christ. And it could be a day we reflect upon this commandment and we spend a little time in prayer. God, forgive me for the way I treated my parents. Forgive me for the trouble I've caused at the workplace over the years. Forgive me for not being respectful to those in the church. Oh God, I'm thankful for Christ. He always did the will of the Father. And that perfect righteousness is imputed to all who believe in him. Oh, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Lord God Almighty, indeed, your commandments, when considered aright, touch us in our innermost being. Oh, how your law exposes our sin, our sinfulness. Oh, how prone we are to self-righteousness. But your law humbles us. But by means of your law, you also reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfectly kept your law, suffered the penalty of that broken law. O Lord Jesus Christ, praise, glory, and honor belongs to you forever. Amen.